जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सहस्री His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtota Sahasri, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल्ड द अपीयरेंस ऑफ श्री नारद टेक्स्ट नंबर 9 अभिमन्युसुतं सूत प्राहुर्भागवतोत्तमम् तस्य जन्म महाश्चर्यम् कर्माणि च गृणीहिन
అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం తస్య జన్మ మహాశ్చర్యం కర్మాణి చ గృణీహిన అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం తస్య జన్మ మహాశ్చర్యం కర్మాణి చ గృణీహిన అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం తస్య జన్మ మహాశ్చర్యం కర్మాణి చ గృహిణీహినః అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం తస్య జన్మ మహాశ్చర్యం కర్మాణి చ గృణీహినః అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం తస్య జన్మ మహాశ్చర్యం అభిమన్యుసు తం సూత ప్రాహుర్భాగవతోత్తమం వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అభిమన్యు సుతం ద సన్ ఆఫ్ అభిమన్యు సూత ఓ సూత ప్రాహు ఇస్ సెట్ టు బి భాగవత ఉత్తమం ద ఫస్ట్ క్లాస్ డివోటీ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్ తస్య హిస్ జన్మ బర్త్ మహాశ్చర్యం వెరీ వండర్ఫుల్ కర్మాణి యాక్టివిటీస్ చ అండ్ గృణీహి ప్లీజ్ స్పీక్ టు నహ అస్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ దట్ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్ ఇస్ అ గ్రేట్ first class devotee of the Lord and that his birth and activities are all wonderful. Please tell us about him. Purport: the birth of Maharaj Parikshit is wonderful because in the womb of his mother he was protected by the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. His activities are also wonderful because he chastised Kali, who was attempting to kill a cow. To kill cows means to end human civilization. He wanted to protect the cow from being killed by the great representative of sin. His death is also wonderful because he got a previous notice of his death, which is wonderful for any mortal being. And thus he prepared himself for passing away by sitting down on the bank of the Ganges and hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. During all the days he heard Bhagavatam, he did not take food or drink, nor did he sleep a moment. So everything about him is wonderful, and his activities are worth hearing attentively. Desire is expressed herein to hear about him in detail. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमणोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्ण. So I seek the blessings of the assembled devotees to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are discussing from the fourth chapter. This beginning of this fourth chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are actually asking new series of questions to Suta Goswami. The first six questions were answered by Suta Goswami by the end of the third chapter. They are actually further asking more questions. And in the last few verses, the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they asked a question about Shukadeva Goswami, the first speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this particular verse and also in the next few verses, they are asking question about the first hearer of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Parishit Maharaj. And we see that generally, like any big event, it's a big seminar or big sports event or something, like somebody is the main center of attraction. Somebody is a speaker of the seminar or somebody who is playing in the match. But we don't find that those who are actually going to witness that, or those who are going to witness that match, those who are going to hear that seminar, like there is not so much focus on the news about them, like who are the people who watched that cricket match, or mainly the man of the match or man of the series, like they are focused upon. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so not only the speaker is focused upon, but the hearer is also given equal importance. In fact, they are asking questions about Parishit Maharaj, and Prabhupada writes like in several places such profound purports. He says that externally, Shukadeva Goswami was an absolutely renounced person, and he was liberated from the birth. He didn't even undergo any of the
purificatory samskaras, but he was liberated from the birth. And Parishit Maharaj was an emperor, but actually both of them are on the same platform. Both of them are on the same platform. Just like we can find, right in the beginning, just to the character of Shukadeva Goswami and Parishit Maharaj, Bhagavatam is actually teaching us to go beyond the externals and to focus on the substance of the devotion. For Shukadeva Goswami and Parishit Maharaj, both were completely opposite character from an external point of view, from the point of view of the one being an emperor, another being a renowned sadhu. Or another example in the Bhagavatam, like we just few verses before we saw that, like Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva. Like Shukadeva Goswami, when he was passing through the village, that time some young women were actually taking bath. But they did not cover their bodies when they saw Shukadeva Goswami, because they could see that Shukadeva Goswami was completely pure in his consciousness, and they didn't feel intimidated by the presence, and they could see the purity of him, and they did not cover their bodies. On the other hand, when Vyasadeva was passing by, they covered their bodies. And Shukadeva Goswami was a young person. He had a fully developed body and he didn't wear any clothes. On the other hand, Vyasadeva was an elderly person and he had his clothes on, and but they actually covered their bodies with the clothes. So it may appear that Vyasadeva is actually less advanced and Shukadeva Goswami is more advanced. It may appear like that. But actually, both of them are the same liberated platform. Vyasadeva is the incarnation of the Lord, and Shukadeva Goswami, he is also in the liberated platform. So sometimes scriptures imply what is called as a Nahi Ninda Nyaya. Nahi Ninda Nyaya means, when you want to glorify somebody, apparently another person is put in an inferior position, but actually the other person is also in the equally on the same glorious position as the other person. Like Vyasadeva is also in the same platform like Shukadeva Goswami. But apparently, by the reaction of those ladies towards Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva, it appears that like Vyasadeva is put in a lower position, Shukadeva Goswami is in a higher position. So that is called as a Nahi Ninda Nyaya. Sometimes in order to glorify one person, the second person is put in an inferior position, but actually he is also in the same platform. So that way, like how the Bhagavatam is actually training us to go beyond the externals, although Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, both are in the same liberated platform, both have the same substance of devotion, but externally they are playing different roles. Or another example from the Bhagavatam is Kunti Maharani and Vritrasur. If we see the prayers offered by Kunti Maharani and Vritrasur, the concluding prayer of Kunti Maharani is that Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrat ratim udvahatat adda gange vauga mudanvati. She says that let my consciousness flow towards you naturally without any obstruction, just like Ganges flows towards the ocean. That is my final prayer. In fact, the verse before that, Queen Kunti said that Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Swakeshume Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Virishnishu. Please cut off my affection towards my family members. Queen Kunti was thinking that because of my affection towards the Pandavas, I am getting a desire that Krishna should stay here with the Pandavas. At the same time, I also have affection towards my family relation who are in Dwaraka, my Vasudeva, my brother and others. But that is actually pulling me that Krishna should... That is creating my desire in me that Krishna should go back to Dwaraka. So I am caught up between these two desires. But then Queen Kunti feels that actually because of my attachment to the family members, therefore I am getting these desires. So please cut off my attachment towards the family members. Like that she says. And then finally she concludes that Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit. That let my consciousness flow towards Krishna spontaneously like the Ganges without being obstructed by any of the obstacles. And the same prayer is offered by Vritrasur. Vritrasur says that Aham Hare Tava Padaika Mulo Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha Manas Maretasu Pater Gunamste Grihita Vakarma Karotukaya. He says that I am just longing that when I can become the servant of the devotees of you. Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha. And let my mind be engaged constantly in thinking of you. Let my words be engaged in glorifying you. Let my body be engaged in serving you. And especially this prayer is exactly same as Queen Kunti's prayer, what she is praying. In substance, it is the same. But suppose if you put a picture of Queen Kunti one side, and another side you put a picture of Vritrasur. Suppose you are asked a question that by seeing these two pictures, list out the similarities between the two pictures. I remember some childhood, some magazines, two pictures would be put and then find out the differences between the two pictures. The pictures would appear almost same, but if you see minutely, you'll see that on the top of the table in one picture, telephone is there, another picture, telephone is not there. So, if you put a picture of Queen Kunti and Vritrasur, even if you, however you may look so deep into both the pictures, you will not find a single similarity between the two pictures. Queen Kunti is a simple woman, a widow lady, a mother of 5 children. And Vritrasur's external description in the Bhagavatam gives us such a graphic description of Vritrasur. Vritrasur was born as a demon. His hair was coppery, and then he was like, when he was walking, he was trampling over the devatas, and then like his eyes were red hot. And people were, just by seeing Vritrasur, just by hearing the Vritrasur's roar, people were becoming so afraid that they were passing stool and urine. They were actually running away from the battlefield. So both of their external pictures are completely different. Their external pictures are disposition also. But the substance of devotion is same. So in that way, Bhagavatam is actually training us to go beyond the externals. And here we see that there's a question, questions were being asked about Shukadeva Goswami and his renunciation and were being talked about. Now the questions are being asked about Parikshit Maharaj. And so in that way, Bhagavatam is teaching us. So let us see the verse, Abhimanyu Sutam Suta. So they are addressing Suta Goswami. O Suta, Abhimanyu Sutam Prahur Bhagavatottamam. Abhimanyu Sutam refers to Parikshit Maharaj, the son of Abhimanyu. Prahur Bhagavatottamam. Prahur means Sarva Loka Prasiddha. He is already celebrated in the world. He is already well known in the world as Bhagavata Uttamam. So generally, when somebody is, Prahlad Maharaj being called as Hiranyakashipu Suta. When the father or the mother or somebody is coming in an infamous family, generally, although the person may be very glorious, but if he is coming in an infamous family, if he is coming in a family of a demon, that person is not addressed in relation to that particular family or the father. Prahlad Maharaj is not usually known as Hiranyakashipu Sutta. So many times person is addressed in relation to the family or the dynasty or the father, to remind him, oh, you are coming in the glorious family, you are coming, you are the son of this particular person, you are the son of this particular, you are coming in this dynasty. So here, Parishita is addressed, by, is called by the name Abhimanyu Sutta. But what is the meaning of the word Abhimanyu? So Abhimanyu is a person, but many times the person is named by the quality he exhibits, like Duryodhan, Arjuna, Dhananjaya, like that, the different qualities they exhibit. The conqueror of wealth, Dhananjaya. So Abhimanyu Sutta, Abhimanyu means, Vallabhacharya gives an interesting meaning. Vallabhacharya says that, Abhitaha Parito Manyuryasya Natu Antaha. Abhitaha Parito Manyuryasya Natu Antaha. That means, one who exhibited endless anger towards all directions. Natu Antaha. Antaha means no end. Abhitaha Parito. Abhitaha Parito, towards all directions. When you Parito means towards all directions, Sarvato. One way, Manyu is the anger. Abhitaha Parito, Manyuryasya Natu Antaha. One who exhibited unlimited anger or endless anger towards all directions. So generally, anger is something in the mode of ignorance. Krodat bhavati sammoha. So anger comes from the mode of ignorance. And somebody who exhibited anger in all directions, such a person, like you would think that such a person, he must be deeply in the tamoguna. So then why is Parishit Maharaj called as a son of a person who exhibited anger towards all directions? Why is he named? It doesn't seem to be a proper way of addressing Parishit Maharaj. If somebody is exhibiting anger in all directions, one may think that he must be in tamoguna. So why should Parishit be called as Abhimanyu Sutta? He is the son of a person who had great tamoguna. One may think like that. But Vallabhacharya addresses, Abhitaha Parito Manyuryasya Natu Antaha Kshatriyasya cha ayam dharmaha. Because Abhimanyu was playing the role of a kshatriya, so it was his dharma to exhibit anger when you are surrounded by all the maharathis in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Kshauryam tejo dhritir dakshyam yuddhe chapyapalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatra karma swabhavajam. So one of the core quality of a kshatriya is that he never runs away from the battlefield, and he exhibits anger in the battlefield. But the same Abhimanyu, Vallabhacharya clarifies, antaha krodha abhavat cha vaishnavaha. But within his heart, he is free from anger. He has the quality of a Vaishnava. Within his heart, he actually is free from anger. But externally, because he was playing the role of a Kshatriya, he exhibited endless anger. So one should not mistake Abhimanyu. So externally, a Vaishnava, he exhibits his role according to this Varnashram. But internally, he performs all those Varnashram duties for the satisfaction of the Lord. Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport in this connection in regards to Prithu Maharaj. Karmanicha yata kalam, yata desham yata balam, yato chittam yata vittam, akarod brahmasat kritam. being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible, according to the time and the situation, strength and financial position. But his only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted. And he writes such a profound purport. He says that Prithu Maharaj performed his royal duties as a king for the satisfaction of Krishna. It is therefore said by a Vaishnava poet, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigye Na Bujaya. No one can understand the activities of pure devotee. A pure devotee's activity may appear to be ordinary, but behind those activities, there is a profound significance. What is that profound significance? The satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in order to understand the activities of a pure devotee, one has to be very expert. So Maharaj Prithu did not allow himself to function outside the institutions of Varna and Ashram. Although as a Vaishnava, he was on the Paramahamsa stage, transcendental to all material activities. So externally he remained as a Kshatriya to rule the world, but at the same time he remained transcendental to such activities by satisfying the Supreme Lord. And the same quality we see in the case of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, he exhibited endless anger towards all directions, but internally he was free from anger. Krodha, bhava, abhavacha, Vaishnava. So Abhimanyu, if we see, Abhimanyu is like a hot sugarcane juice. When you take a hot sugarcane juice, it is difficult to drink the hot sugarcane juice because very hot. At the same time, you cannot resist the temptation to taste the sugarcane. So Abhimanyu was a person who made people cry by the sacrifice he made. At the same time, he made people cry with joy, and he made the people become proud of his sacrifice. And he made people joyful for the sacrifice for the sacrificial spirit he exhibited in the battlefield. So people cried after hearing his death. At the same time, they were proud of his sacrifice. They were proud of being connected to Abhimanyu. So in that sense, Abhimanyu is like a hot sugarcane juice. Abhimanyu, if we see Abhimanyu's marriage with Uttara, so Virata actually decided to marry his daughter Uttara to Abhimanyu. So from one point of view, from a practical point of view, it was a completely wrong decision, because it was very much expected that very soon there is going to be a war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And Abhimanyu, as a son of Arjuna, he was more excited to participate in that war than to have some happy married life or like that. But when you have such a person, so there is every possibility that your daughter could have become widow very soon, because there is going to be a war within few months or something. But still, so from a practical point of view, Virata's decision to arrange for the marriage of his daughter with Abhimanyu was a completely wrong decision actually. But King Virata, he had a great respect towards the Pandavas, and definitely it was not a profitable decision from one point of view. But at the same time, because of his respect towards the Pandavas, he took it as a great privilege to actually arrange for his daughter marriage with the Abhimanyu. This is from Virata's point of view. And from Uttara's point of view, like Uttara was also willing to take the responsibility of allowing her husband to perform that great sacrifice, and become the wife of an immortal husband. Like Uttara also, because it could have, it's a, she was married for some time, but she became a widow for the rest of the life actually. So her sacrifice was completely in the background. So we can see the sacrificial spirit of Uttara as well as Abhimanyu. So this Abhimanyu's marriage with Uttara, this actually this tells actually how in the Vedic culture, like every act in the Vedic culture, even including the marriage, it involves the inherently the primary purpose in marriage is that there is a spirit of sacrifice, that there is a spirit of responsibility, and the enjoyment is the secondary purpose of that. So that we can see from the character of Abhimanyu and Uttara. Huh. So, and they implanted Abhimanyu and Uttara because they had the spirit of sacrifice, and they implanted that spirit of sacrifice in Parikshit Maharaj. And therefore, it was very important for Krishna to protect that sacrificial spirit of the Pandavas, which was coming through the dynasty of the Pandavas in Parikshit Maharaj. So that legacy of the sacrificial spirit of the Pandavas should continue. So therefore Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj in the womb. So that is why in this verse they are asking the question, Tasya Janma Mahascharyam. The birth of Parikshit Maharaj is something wonderful. It is because Parikshit Maharaj was personally protected by Krishna in the womb. In the Mahabharata, the description goes that Parikshit Maharaj actually died because Krishna did not want the Brahmastra. He wanted to give that respect to Brahmastra also. He allowed that Brahmastra to act. Parikshit Maharaj died. And then Krishna revived the dead body of Parikshit Maharaj. That's how Mahabharata describes. Bhagavatam describes that Krishna took the weapon and then protected Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahmastra. So Krishna protecting Parikshit Maharaj, because Krishna did not want the world to be bereft of the sacrificial spirit of the Pandavas. And even in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami describes about Dasya Rasa, he describes that Dasya Rasa, to what level of prema it can go up to. He says it can go up to prema, raga, and one more level he mentions. So he says what the definition of prema is, that at the level of prema, one's love for Krishna never diminishes or wavers, even if there is a justification for it to do so. And then he gives an example for this quality of prema by talking about the quality of Subhadra. So he says that when the feeble enemies manage to take Abhimanyu from your hands and killed him, though you desire to protect the whole world, however, Subhadra's auspicious affection for you did not decrease by even one degree. Abhimanyu was killed mercilessly by the enemies. Krishna was busy with Arjuna in the another side of the battlefield. Krishna did not protect Arjuna. Krishna did not protect Abhimanyu. But Subhadra's affection for Krishna did not decrease even by one degree, that Krishna did not actually protect my son. So we can see the not only the character of Abhimanyu or Uttara, but even Abhimanyu's mother, Subhadra, Subhadra's affection for Krishna, Subhadra's actually sacrificial spirit, Subhadra's actually attitude. So we can see Subhadra's quality also. And the same quality is coming through the legacy. The same legacy is coming in the Parikshit Maharaj. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj in one verse in the 8th canto. He addresses Parikshit Maharaj by the word Arindama. Arindama means subduer of the enemies. Subduer of the enemies. So Parikshit Maharaj renounced everything. He is actually he's just sitting in the bank of the Ganges and hearing Bhagavatam. But he is calling Parikshit Maharaj by the word Arindama, who subduer of the enemies. By that he is actually telling that you have not only conquered the external enemies when you are the emperor, but you also conquered the internal enemies. You conquered the internal enemies of actually grudge towards the Sringi. You don't have any anger towards Sringi. Well, although Sringi had cursed you to die within 7 days, but you don't have even any revenge or anger, any this thing towards Sringi. So, in that way, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, the same quality of Parikshit Maharaj, just like how Abhimanyu, externally he exhibited anger in all directions, but internally he was free from anger. And the same quality is coming in Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj exhibited his anger to punish Kali. But Parikshit Maharaj did not exhibit an anger even internally when he was cursed by Sringi to die within 7 days. And therefore the sages are asking about the Parikshit Maharaj that Tasya Janma Mahacharyam Karmanicha Grinihinaha. Karmanicha Grinihinaha. Means like, please tell about the activities of Parikshit Maharaj, especially his activity of subduing Kali. Some people may be glorious by their birth, but they may not be glorious in terms of their contribution or the activities in this world. Some people may be infamous by their birth, but they are absolutely exalted by their contribution, by their activities. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, everything about him is actually glorious. His birth is glorious, and his activities are glorious, and his death is also glorious. He got a notice of death for 7 days notice, and then his death is glorious because he died by taking shelter of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the questions he asked, they were also wonderful. They were also glorious. Because we see in every incarnation of the Lord, Lord appears in this world to establish Dharma and also to favor some particular devotee. Every incarnation appears to reciprocate with certain intimate devotees. That is the internal purpose, and the external purpose is to establish Dharma in this world. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, because of Parikshit Maharaj, all the incarnations of Krishna appeared in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Usually, because of different devotees, Krishna appeared in some particular form, some particular incarnation, in some particular time. But Parikshit Maharaj's glory is that because of the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj, that Krishna has appeared in all the forms in the Bhagavatam. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj's questions are also glorious. And Abhimanyu Sutam Suta Prahur Bhagavatottamam. So regarding this word Bhagavatottamam, Vallabhacharya in his commentary, he gives two meanings. One meaning he gives is that Loka Vritta Parityagena Bhagavat Eka Parayanaha. Loka Vritta Parityagena, renouncing the worldly activities, Bhagavat Eka Parayanaha, exclusively taking shelter of Bhagavan. So this is the quality of a Bhagavata Uttama. And another quality of Bhagavata Uttama, he explains that, he quotes a verse. This verse comes in the 11th canto, in the Navayogendra Samvad. Nimi Maharaj and Navayogendra, and they are having a Samvad. One of the Navayogendras they describe about the different types of devotees. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. And after giving a description of the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, then this Navayogendra particularly describes about the Uttam Adhikari or the Bhagavata Uttama in great detail. The 11th canto, 2nd chapter, the last 8 verses, some of the longest purports also are given. Some purports are 10 pages, 12 pages. So in 8 verses, they exclusively describe who is the Bhagavata Uttama. Because this word Bhagavata Uttama is a simple way we can understand. Bhagavata Uttama is the topmost of all the Bhagavatas. But they describe in great detail what are the qualities of Bhagavata Uttama. In one purport, Hridayan Maharaj says that although even a Kanishtha Adhikari can also act as a guru, but generally a person can elevate the people under him only to the level in which he is there, he is present. A Kanishtha Adhikari can elevate a person to his level. Somebody is in the stage of, say, Ruchi or Asakti can elevate a person to his level. So, in order that a person should accept the Bhagavata Uttama as a spiritual master, therefore, the Navayogendras are describing the Bhagavata Uttama in great detail. And Vallabhacharya is quoting here just one particular line from one of the verse, in the concluding verse of the Bhagavata Uttama, to describe this in his purport. He says that the Bhagavata Uttama, the concluding verse of that Bhagavata Uttama, he says, Visrijati Hridayam na yasya sakshat. Visrijati Hridayam na yasya sakshat means Bhagavata Uttama is that person from whose heart Krishna does not leave. So, Bhagavata, one way is described as Bhagavata Uttama as Loka Vritta Parityagena Bhagavat Eka Parayana. This is from the point of view of the devotee that after renouncing all the worldly activities, he exclusively takes shelter of Bhagavan. This is, we can say, from the point of view of a devotee, Bhagavata Uttama is defined. But from the point of view of Krishna, how the Bhagavata Uttama is defined is, Visrijati Hridayam na yasya sakshat. Bhagavata Uttama is that person from whose heart Krishna does not leave. Harir avashabihito api agaugauga nasha pranaya rasanaya dhritangri padma sa bhavati bhagavata pradana vukta. So in these 8 verses, you will find repeatedly the word Bhagavata Pradana or the Bhagavata Uttama. So these words will come repeatedly. So Bhagavata Uttama is that person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with a genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavata Pradana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So, Hridayan Maharaj explains that generally, he says that a gentleman will live only in a clean place. He will not live in a polluted, contaminated place. And Krishna is a supreme gentleman. Therefore, he will not live in a polluted heart. Nor will he appear within the polluted mind of a conditioned soul. Because the Bhagavata Uttama has a completely pure heart. So therefore, Krishna does not leave his heart. So in this way, Bhagavata Uttama is defined in these two, in these two ways. Prahur Bhagavata Uttamam. So Parishit Maharaj is on that level of Bhagavata Uttama. And Tasya Janma Mahacharyam Karmanicha Grinihinaha. So his birth, activities, and his death and his questions, everything is actually wonderful. So just I'll describe just a few points about when you talk about Parikshit Maharaj's questions, how they are wonderful. Parikshit Maharaj has asked so many questions throughout the Bhagavatam. So some of the questions, how they are wonderful, is that, for example, in the beginning of the sixth canto, he asked the question. After hearing the description of the hellish planets, he asked that, how can the people in the hellish planets be delivered? So generally, a person who is about to die, many times people become more self-conscious, they become fearful, they become insecure. But here Parikshit Maharaj is concerned about people in some other planet. So that's why Vaishnava compassion is something very deep. It's very deep that he is concerned about the people in some other planet, in the hellish planets. And then Shukadev Goswami said that, somebody who has performed a sin, if they perform the prayaschitta, atonement for that sin, they will get delivered from that sins. Then they don't have to go to hell. But Parikshit Maharaj said that, Manye Kunjara Shauchavat, I consider the prayaschitta to be like a bathing of an elephant. So Parikshit Maharaj, he could see that many people who performed atonement, they again committed sin. So Shukadev Goswami was actually testing Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence. Is he satisfied with this answer? So, generally, when we talk about exams, we have the exam, we have exam system is that, exam is announced beforehand. This is the syllabus, this is the exam. Sometimes important questions are given. Some systems, they may have some surprise test also. But in surprise test is also announced in the beginning. We may have surprise test during the course. So that means there is, it's not completely a surprise that we may have surprise test is announced in the beginning. And surprise test is also, it is not, and suddenly a teacher comes and says that, today there is a surprise test. So at least the students are aware that today is that they are being tested. Surprise test is announced, but at least they are told that now there's a test. At least they know that they are being tested, and they are given some questions. They are told to answer those questions. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, it is purely a surprise test. Surprise test in the pure form, because he didn't even know that it is a test actually. Normally in a test, the teacher asks questions. Because nowadays that without test people are getting passed, because during COVID that is another level. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, like one of my Sanskrit teacher, she was telling that this system where there is 35 marks for passing, this is actually absolutely a wrong system. Passing marks means 100%, not even 99. That is actually ideal, the test like that, she was explaining it. So in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, he was not even knowing that he is being tested, because Shukadev Goswami did not ask a question to Parikshit Maharaj. Rather, he gave answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question. By giving an answer, he was testing Parikshit Maharaj. Is he satisfied with that answer? So, in that way, Parikshit Maharaj, when he said that, I consider this atonement to be actually bathing of an elephant, by that he actually passed the test. And another aspect of Parikshit Maharaj's wonderful question is that one verse in the sixth canto, Shukadev Goswami just mentioned that the Maruts who are the sons of Diti, the 49 Maruts, they were accepted by Indra to be the demigods. So Parishit Maharaj immediately asked the question, how is it that the sons of Diti, the Maruts, the 49 Maruts, how did they become the Devatas? Because Maruts are the brothers of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were the greatest demons which the world had ever seen. And Indra had only prayed to the Lord to appear and kill Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But Indra accepted the brothers of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha as the Devatas. Do we find that the America planned so much to kill Osama bin Laden? Suppose if there is a news that they appointed the son of Osama bin Laden as the defense minister of the America. So one would be surprised, like, why did they appoint his son as the defense minister? But the brothers of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were appointed as the Devatas. So when Parishit Maharaj asked that how did they become the Devatas, then Shukadeva Goswami was so happy with that question. He said that you asked a question with a few words, but these few words are having profound meaning. Alpam and Arthavit. Your few words, they are having deep significance. They are filled with a deep meaning, because the answer to this question will actually reveal about the glories of devotional service. And then Parishit Maharaj, he heard about the story of the Maruts. He heard how the engagement in the Pumsavana sacrifice by Diti and the assistance of Indra to Diti, how it actually transformed their hearts. How it transformed the hearts of Diti, Indra, and how it transformed the children who are in the womb of Diti, that they became devotees. And after that, Parishit Maharaj asked a question that, can you please describe this Pumsavana sacrifice in detail? This Pumsavana sacrifice is to be performed in 1 year actually. And Parishit Maharaj has few days to live. Like, what is the relevance of him to hear this Pumsavana sacrifice in detail? He cannot actually anyway perform that. But just because this Pumsavana sacrifice is a devotional, is one of the Anga of Bhakti, by which one can please Lord Vishnu. So he was interested in hearing about that Pumsavana sacrifice. So that is why Vasudev tells to Narada Muni in the 11th canto that, please tell me about the process by which we can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because anybody who hears about the process by which one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by that one can overcome all fear. Even though you may not be that particular process which involves 1 year of different ritual, even though you may not be able to practice that, but Parishit Maharaj actually shows his eagerness to hear about that process. So in that sense, we see that everything about Parishit Maharaj is wonderful. And the sages are actually exhibiting their eagerness to hear about Parishit Maharaj. To summarize what we discussed today, we discussed about how the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually taking us beyond the externals through the character of Parishit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, Queen Kunti and Vritrasur, Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami. We discussed these examples. And then we discussed the significance behind the sages addressing Parishit Maharaj by the word Abhimanyu Sutam, about the character of Abhimanyu and about the spirit of Abhimanyu, Uttara, Shubhadra. How the same spirit is actually, they had actually implanted the same spirit in Parishit Maharaj. Therefore, Krishna did not want that spirit of the Pandavas. Krishna did not want the world to be bereft of the spirit of the Pandavas. And then we discussed the word Bhagavata Uttama, how this Bhagavata Uttama is described in great detail, the 11th canto, 2nd chapter. I just touched upon the word Bhagavata Uttama. Bhagavata Uttama has two meanings. that one who has given up the worldly activities and has taken exclusive shelter of the Lord. And second meaning is that Bhagavata Uttama is that person from whom Krishna does not leave. And then finally we discussed something about Parishad Maharaj's questions, how his questions are also wonderful. So I'll stop here. Anybody wants to add anything? Any questions? Prantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Hare Krishna.